Hello, I'm Mr. G. The G is not for Google, but it fits. And thank you for joining me on a journey where we learn from different EdTech leaders.
Welcome to Aced Tech.
Today we're talking about home learning, which was recorded on March 18, 2020, aced.tech/31. And today's guest star is...
Hello, everybody. I'm Alfonso Mendoza, Jr. I'm an instructional software specialist from Sherryland ISD, native of Edinburgh, Texas.
Well, welcome and thank you for doing this show with me. It's going to be very interesting, especially with everything that is going on right now. You are the share captain for GEG South Texas.
That's right. I am the share captain for GEG South Texas. And anybody out there that is interested in joining our GEG, please go ahead and look us up. And I know Mr. G also will share some information, because if you don't know, Mr. G is our GEG South Texas leader. So I'm excited to be here on this podcast with him and the work that he is doing with our GEG here. And it's something that is growing. And so we're very excited to be part of this and glad to be here with him today as well.
Awesome. Thank you. And I just wanted to mention one thing is that it is crazy, and I was hoping that this would end soon, but apparently we're having a cold front in this area that is probably going to prolong a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Like the winds right now, everything that we're seeing, just sometimes you just make sure you take some precautions. And I know that that is something that we'll be covering shortly. But as I was mentioning to Carlos earlier today, I went out to just run some errands, do a couple of things, and just feeling that wind. And of course, now you've got the weather changing and the patterns and everything. And, you know, just be safe out there, you know, make sure that, you know, you always be very clean. Wash your hands, things of that sort. And, and if you can, just stay in as much as you can.
Awesome. One of the things that happened to me was that I went to the dentist. And believe it or not, I was told that I was not allowed to go in because I have allergies. So that's something of a concern. I'm not allowed to have some services because they will not know if how I am feeling has anything to do with the actual virus itself.
Wow, that's very interesting. Well, let me share another story with you. So yesterday I was scheduled to take a test at the Pearson Testing Center here, the local one that we have. And it was a GT supplemental exam that I had already scheduled since, I think it was December. So I was ready for the exam. So I show up, and normally they say, hey, you know, get here about 15 minutes prior. And knowing I'm always early to anything, and, you know, sometimes when you get there early enough, they start you off very early. And so there, I'm there waiting and waiting and waiting, and no one is showing up. Finally, gentleman shows up who said, well, I just wanted to confirm that it was closed because I received an email. I said, well, I didn't get an email. And then he said, oh, check your spam folder. And sure enough, there was an email. They have canceled all testing here at least Pearson View. Those testing centers have been closed until April 16th. For now, tentatively. So I know that there might be a lot of educators out there that scheduled exams during this week. Please check your spam folders for anything from Pearson. And if you need to, please, or if you can, please go ahead and reschedule your examinations probably till after April 16th, just depending on how long, you know, this will be going on. So just keep that in mind. And so check your spam folders, guys.
It's time for some G Suite ideas.
Okay, so I feel that we pretty much already started, and might as well continue with it.
Yeah.
So COVID-19, Google has some tips for staying healthy. And the five tips they give are: hands, wash them often; elbow, cough into it; Face, don't touch it. Feet, stay at least 3 feet away. But I believe the new data shows that it's supposed to be 6 feet.
6 feet, that's correct.
So maybe these tips are a bit outdated, but still something to look into. Then if you feel sick, stay home. And that's a tough one. Feeling sick, what does that mean? For example, as I was saying earlier, having allergy symptoms, and they tell me come back in 2 weeks, and my reply to them is my allergies are not going to go away. It's kind of difficult, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Even, you know, sometimes people may panic, like a slight headache, you know, or the dry eyes or the itchy eyes. And they're like, no, don't touch your face and things of that sort. And I agree with you. You know, I do have a little bit of allergies myself too, as well. And so it's just being very cautious and not to overthink and, you know, not understanding that as long as you just, you know, take care of yourself and you're indoors, you know, and just make sure that you're cleaning the area, showering, changing your clothes, things of that sort. That's something that just, you know, precautions that you're taking, you know, that it's better to be safe than later on, you know, you really come down with something.
And a couple of tips that I heard from somebody, if you have never used a handkerchief before, I think right now is the time to start doing it. The recommendation that I was given was using two handkerchiefs, one to touch foreign objects or anything that you're not familiar with. If you're going somewhere, the handrails, doorknobs, pretty much anything outside of your home, use one handkerchief. The other handkerchief is if you need to touch your face, that's what the other handkerchief is for.
No, and that makes perfect sense. You know, I'm very cautious. And even prior to this, you know, it's just a good rule of thumb, especially, you know, when I would go, well, you know, use the men's room, wash my hands, you know, and then get the paper towel and, you know, throw those away. And then I'll always get an extra little piece just to open up the door handle or push the door, you know, as to not, again, you know, pick up any germs or anything of that sort. So, you know, these rules are I guess not necessarily rules, but suggestions are very helpful. And so those are very useful tips for sure.
You know, I haven't noticed, but I've been actually doing that, using the same paper towel that I dried my hands with. I use it to open the door and hold the door open with my foot and throw the paper towel in the trash.
Yep. Yep. Those are some great tips. And like I said, even before all of this, I guess it was just kind of like a, you know, just force a habit. I guess it's just your brain just wires you to that. But now that we're seeing what is happening, then I started thinking about it like, oh, wow, look, I didn't even notice that I did this because it was just habit, you know, something natural.
Yeah. Okay. And another thing that I wanted to get into, by the way, do we have any other tips on staying healthy?
Well, just other tips, like you said, what I was looking at is just like it said, the 6 feet, that's really what I'm seeing now, 6 feet away from each other. Also, just avoid shopping at peak hours. I know right now, you know, certain supermarkets that we have here locally in our South Texas region or even in Texas altogether, some of the major chains have changed their hours from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., to kind of be able to have time to restock and, you know, have a little bit more controlled environment. You know, I had to go pay my vehicle registration, so I had to go to one of these supermarkets. And I must say that they did a phenomenal job at organizing things very well. It's not chaotic. Aisles are pretty much stocked up. You know, they're being very helpful. But again, just avoid that shopping during peak hours because there are a lot of people there. And then all of a sudden you hear people cough or sniffle or you know, things of that sort. And sometimes you're like, okay, let's move on. Let's move on. Let's get out of here.
It's just allergies.
Yeah, it's just allergies. So keep those things in mind. And if you can, you know, use curbside service. I know a lot of restaurants now, I've been getting a lot of emails from local restaurants saying, hey, you know what? we're moving everything to either just pickup delivery or pickup, excuse me, service, curbside service, or drive-through only. So I think they're being very responsible. I know a lot of people, you know, may think like, oh, this is, you know, going too far. You know, it's all in preventing. You know, the best thing is that they're mindful of their health, not only for their employees, but they're mindful of the health towards you as well. You know, they want to make sure that you guys are okay. Also, you know, if you can, you know, if you're still going to work, you know, maybe just change some company practices too, if you can. If you can meet online, you know, remote. And we're going to get into that a little bit in just a second, you know, but if there's ways that you can meet online, which I have been able to hear from home to, you know, contact colleagues and things of that sort, go ahead and do that as well. And, you know, avoid the sporting events. I know people were disappointed the livestock show closed prematurely, but again, it's all for the health and safety of our community. And again, just wash your hands. You wash your hands very well for at least 20 seconds. And, you know, I think some of those tips will be very useful. And, you know, you should be good to go, you know?
Yes, definitely. Especially the wash your hands part. One of the things, as we're getting into remote learning, some things that some of us may or not have considered as far as closing schools is that a school closure is one. Yes, I understand it's important for students and teachers, so for their health, but for many students, especially in our region, is that students will not have food. Students may not have a shelter, and the parents who need to work will not be able to afford a daycare. So more than likely, the students will be home alone if the parents have not been laid off as a result of this. So this is a very, very big problem in multiple ways.
Yes, I agree with you. This does have a domino effect. And like you well mentioned, you know, school closures, a lot of parents, a lot of students depend on schools to get those two meals a day, you know, sometimes three, you know, if there's the dinner that's made available at certain districts where they do give them a dinner meal and things of that sort, it's very important. And right now, I mean, even going to the grocery store, hearing, you know, and overhearing in the lines, you know, parents like, oh my goodness, you know, this is the third time I come, you know, I'm having to stock up because the kids are at home and, you know, and it's unexpected. You know, normally it's a, you know, we go through school and, it, you know, parents have enough time to, you know, prepare for the summer season, you know, during that time where then they can say, okay, you know, this is our plan for the summer. But this just came at us out of nowhere. And I agree with you, Carlos, it does have an effect. And especially in our community here in this demographic area in South Texas, where we're here by the border to Mexico, there are a lot of students that don't have shelter. There are a lot of kinder, you know, first graders, second graders that are going to take the role of babysitting, you know, and it's scary to think that, but it is a reality of what we see today and the consequence too, like Carlos was saying, you know, a lot of people that are getting laid off due to not being able to go to work for the safety of themselves and the safety of others. You know, where, what are they going to do? You know, it's something that is difficult. And, you know, my prayers go out to the families and, you know, that we can help them and as a community step up. And I know that there's some districts out there that are going above and beyond delivering meals and trying their best to leverage what they have to provide that and, you know, making sure that the students do get a good meal, you know, during the week. You know, or during the, or however long it is that we might be closed. So things to consider on that.
Very, very tough times. Another thing to consider would be, for example, that when we start doing remote learning, or I wouldn't call it home learning. When we start doing home learning is that when a lot of people are starting to say, use these tools for distance learning or remote learning, or in this case, home learning. I was talking to my wife about this, And she told me, you know, I have used some of those tools, but if I tell my students, even if I'm in class, if I tell my students, start using Seesaw, for example, they will be very confused because it's not something I use every day. And if they don't have the practice, introducing a new tech tool, it's going to be chaotic. So that is one thing to consider. Another thing to consider would be the digital divide. Just because we have internet access, it doesn't mean that every student is going to have internet access. And on top of that, those that have internet access may be very limited or maybe just to the phone that they have.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry to interject there, but I completely agree with you. Everything that you've been saying has been, you know, on point. You know, many educators, you know, right now we're kind of like, well, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? You know, a lot of those classroom teachers are worried. A lot of them are worried because it's like, you know, what's going to happen? What about grades? What about this? We have to take into consideration too that teachers are parents also, you know, so now they're going to be there trying to work and help their students or their own children who are also students at home. And so I agree with you in the conversation that you had with your wife that many times you can say like, hey, use this tool. Well, what if you don't use it on a daily basis or consistently that the child's not going to be able to figure it out? As intuitive as a lot of the tools can be, if you're not using it consistently, you're not really doing the child a service and you're not doing yourself a service. So those are some things to consider there, especially right now during this time. It's, we want to get everything out there and we want to find these solutions. But if the child hasn't been trained and the teachers haven't been trained, then, you know, it's going to be very tough and it's going to be a bumpy road that can cause frustration. You know, and then just to continue with that, like Carlos was saying, you know, here in our area, I only speak here of our area because this is where we live, but I know that this is here nationwide, the digital divide. Not every student has access, like we were speaking of. You know, they may have one device, two devices at home, and now you're getting into their data. And then the parent may need to work remotely too as well. And then the student needs to do the work. And so you've got those limitations as well. Here, I know that there's some companies that were saying, hey, call us up. If you have a student from K through 12, we can set up, you know, your Wi-Fi or give you Wi-Fi for 60 days, you know. And so one of the things is that I have been hearing is they're calling the companies, but that company will say, well, where is it that you live? Well, I'm sorry, ma'am, sir, our service doesn't go that way. So there's nothing that I can do to help. So, you know, I know they're trying to be proactive, but still, even with this, you know, you've got a glimmer of hope saying, hey, you know what, this company says they're going to offer free Wi-Fi, but then you call them up and, well, sorry, you're out of our range. There's nothing that we can do there. And that can be very disheartening to parents. It's disheartening to the students too as well, if they want to communicate, if they want to actively learn from home. You know, how are they going to do that with limited resources? So those are a lot of things to consider. And one thing that I'm going to quote here from Casey Bell that I loved her blog post that she said is grace before grades, grace before grades, you know, and that's something that's wonderful that we need to consider too, as well as educators. Parents, please understand that we're trying to do the best that we can. And myself, I still call myself an educator, but even though I'm working as an instructional technologist now for our district, you know, I'm trying my best to help equip our teachers with what we have to be able to help your students. So we're trying. We're a learning community, and we really want to reach out and help. And so we just ask for that grace also as well. And, you know, we're going to get through this, and it's going to be a bumpy road. It's going to be a learning experience for us all. But just keep those things in mind. And like I said, Carlos, I'm going to reiterate what you commented before I kind of went on here. You really hit the nail on the head, and I hope I was able to add a little bit to that as well.
Hey, you're awesome. So please keep it coming. Another thing I wanted to mention is if you are going to use digital tools is using asynchronous learning. And, you may have heard of this term in, let me rephrase that. You may have heard of this in a different term known as the flipped classroom. It's where you record, have them look at the information, and then instead of in class, but by other means, have a meeting with the students that need the help and are not able to continue with their work.
There you go. That is a really good tip there. And I know that there's a lot of great Chrome extensions that will do that, that can help with that, especially like Screencastify. Something like that is great. And even in my role too, I do some quick screencast videos using Screencastify and share them out to our teachers. And then the same thing now, teachers can go ahead and do that and be able to post them up to their Google Classrooms. And so that's one of the things that I love too, is if you are a district that is using Google Classroom, there are so many apps and so many Chrome extensions that easily integrate. And like Carlos was mentioning, as a teacher in the classroom, you know, for many years, I was able to do my screencasts, put them up into an LMS like Google Classroom and have the students be able to view as needed. And then, of course, those that needed that explanation, that was something that was helpful. And then there were maybe some students that didn't need the explanation, but at least it was still there as reference material for them should they need to come back. And then they can go ahead and continue on with their lessons or any of the home learning activities that they'll be doing and working on. So that's a really great tip there, Carlos.
And well, thank you so much. But one other way of doing it, podcasting. Yeah. I mean, if you haven't done podcasting, then right now is probably not the time to start. But if your students understand podcasting, because my students understand podcasting, then recording a podcast with the lesson, and this would be okay for many subjects. I'm not exactly sure how podcasts would work with math other than as a review. But if you want to do a lesson using podcasting, then the students, whenever they have internet access, they download the podcast episodes. They go, and because they can listen to them anytime, anywhere, as long as they have the device to listen to them, then it doesn't matter that they will not have internet access. They're going to be in a remote location. As long as they have their device and they already downloaded the lessons, amazing.
Yeah, actually. And one of the points or one of the great things about podcasting that a lot of people mention, and I know if you've never had an opportunity to see Carlos at a conference when he talks about podcasting, you really need to if you get to see him at any conferences. One of the things that he says that really stuck to me is, you know, people can record the videos and then you can record the podcast, but a podcast you can learn anywhere at any given time, because sometimes with the videos, I mean, it's not like you're going to, and I hope people aren't driving and watching videos or things of that sort, but you can learn while you're mowing the lawn. You can learn while you're sitting here doing some work on a computer, things of that sort. So I think that that is something that is great, that you don't need to be necessarily in front of that screen watching something, but you can listen to it, listen to the instructions, listen to the lessons, and so on. So that's one great tip that I've picked up from Carlos that I wanted to share.
Thank you. All right. So there's this question, and everybody's asking this question. What's the difference between Hangouts this, Hangouts that, and Zoom? So I kind of have a few answers on this, and I hope this makes sense. There's three versions of Hangouts. Hang on, I'm about to talk about it. The old Hangout, it's a combination of the two new Hangouts, which is being phased out. Currently, you can use the old Hangouts to make phone calls, but that is even going to get removed from the old Hangouts, and it's going to be Google Voice. So you will be able to make phone calls using Google Voice, but Google Voice is a whole different thing. It's not going to be very important right now, so I won't get into it right now. If you have any questions, just send me a message. So the other two is Hangouts Chat, which is just a text chat platform. And you may be used to this if you have used Hangouts. You can create rooms in the old Hangouts. It was called Groups. And it's great to share information and links and documents and photos. I mean, it's really good compared to the old Hangouts. And you can keep track of conversations within a room. So you can reply to a conversation instead of replying to the whole room, which makes things, makes organizing conversations much, much better than the old Hangouts. Now, Hangouts Meet is the video conferencing version of the old Hangouts. With Hangouts Meet, you can do video conferencing, but one of the problems that I keep seeing is that students can kick out the teacher from that Hangout Meet. And I mean, it could be real simple to just join back in. But if you have all students with talking at the same time, and if you don't mute them, it's going to be very difficult, but they can unmute themselves. So I would suggest using Hangouts Meet after you do your asynchronous learning. So first do the lesson using some kind of recorded version of what your lesson is, and then meet with students, either one-on-one or a few at a time, depending on who needs help on what. That way, it's very, very limited to who has access to that Google Meet. Then there's Zoom. With Zoom, you have a lot of control. My only problem, and I'm not sure if Zoom for Education is free right now, because a lot of companies are allowing the free version of whatever they're doing. Zoom for Education is FERPA compliant. If you're going for the free version of Zoom, I am not sure that that is FERPA or COPA compliant. So something to keep in mind. Let me rephrase that. More than likely, it is COPA compliant, but that means only that students need to be at least 13 years of age to be using Zoom. FERPA compliant means that any age in the school years could be using that service. So unless your students are 13 or over, the free version of Zoom may not be your solution. So any other tools that you can think of, or any comments on that?
No, not really. Actually, I just wanted to go back to the Google Meets when you mentioned that students were able to kick each other out. Actually, there is a workaround on that. I do get messages from the TechSig, you know, here in our area, you know, thanks to the TCA. And what they did is they were going into this where, well, first of all, they couldn't communicate because they weren't on the same domain. Then once they got that set up, they were finding that students were able to kick students out and so on. But what they did is when they got into the admin console, the people that do have access to admin console, what they did is they suggested that they remove the cookies from the students' accounts. And then that solved the problem of students kicking kicking each other off of the meet. So I just wanted to throw that in there. Actually, that's one of the things that I saw that I shared with our district, because, you know, as we gear and get ready for the home learning through, you know, a lot of these platforms, and especially this is the platform that we're going to be using, then I saw that that would be an issue. So I started following that thread, and luckily somebody was able to find that solution. So that's one of the things that I wanted to share with you guys as well.
That is amazing. And would you be able to get me a link to this information so I can add it to the show notes?
Yes, I'll make sure, and I'm putting it down right now here on my Google Keep things to do to make sure that we share that information. And it's not necessary. I'll look and see if I can find that email again, but I did take the screenshots. So if anything, you might see some screenshots with the comment that said like, hey, we've got students kicking people out. Hey, Eureka, we solved it. All we did is we removed the cookies from using the admin console.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about as far as remote learning?
Yeah. As far as remote learning, I think you and I, you know, are pretty much on the same page, or at least the conversation that we had prior to the podcast is just keeping it simple. You know, keep it simple. Understand not everybody will have a device. There may be a need for packets. I know that one of the things that I've run into as I've been doing some meetings over the weekend with other GEGs across or Google Educator groups across, you know, or international from, you know, London, Australia, Singapore, South America. I know that there's a couple of people that are like, oh, you know, handouts are the worst. Handouts are, you know, making comments as far as that is concerned. But, you know, sometimes we need to realize that we don't all have access, like we were talking about earlier, in the digital divide. So, you know, sometimes a handout is going to be something that they're going to have. But the whole point is just to keep the learning going. We want to make sure that while our students are at home, and I shared a little schedule with Carlos earlier that I had drafted that I'm going to share with our district too, for our teachers to be able to have a little daily schedule for students, you know, things that'll make it kind of similar to school, but it's not going to work out that way, you know, but something at least they can get a routine. So just kind of keep it simple. Keep those things in mind. This is a time where you don't want to try and overwhelm students and teachers with new platforms. Use what you have and really leverage it, max it out to its full potential, and just take this as a learning experience, you know, for a lot of us. And I know that this, a lot of ed tech folks are probably going to be very happy. Not that this is going on, but that later on, this is something that it's like, okay, let's start digging into this a little bit more, you know, especially districts that may not have an LMS set up, like either like something like a Google Classroom set up or some way to communicate and share with their students. So again, you know, if a handout or a PDF file is all you have that you can share with your students on Google Classroom, just do it. And like Carlos mentioned earlier, you know, you can go ahead and do some of the blended learning. You can create some videos, or as students post comments on Google Classroom, they can communicate with one another and they can help each other out. Or you can check those notifications and maybe just create another video to fix any misconceptions or any instructions and things of that sort. So I know it may sound a little bit easier than it really may be, but it is easy and it is a start. And again, like, you know, we're going to make sure that we get through this. And like, I know myself and Carlos and other Google educators out there are working really hard, not only with our districts, but we're trying to help anybody that needs any help, you know, in setting something up and offering suggestions, because this is our learning community. This is what we do, and we're here to help each other out. So that's just something there that I wanted to add to that.
Thank you so much. And this episode was not so much to give you a solution to the current problem, because I don't think there's one solution for any problem, and everybody in every single place in the world will have different problems, even within our own community, within our own South Texas. And even then, within the Rio Grande Valley, which is where we're from, each county and each district will face different problems. But some things to consider when it comes to creating a solution is what we have previously talked about. And I hope that helps teachers and other educators to arrive to a solution that will help them, specifically for them.
Yeah, most definitely. Like I said, and you played it all, you said it very well, I should say, is there isn't one solution. You know, we're going to have to kind of mix and match certain things, at least with what we have within our districts. But it's just a matter of being patient, you know, actually, you know, listening, waiting upon your leadership too, as well, to see what they're rolling out, your tech leaders within your district as well. And again, you know, one of the things that we're doing is this whole week, I've been doing trainings for our teachers in preparation for the closures. So we're working on Google Classroom this week, just keeping it simple. And as needed with the feedback, you know, we'll start implementing and doing more of the other platforms that we have available to reach out to our students. But I think, like you said, it's just a matter of understanding. There's not one real solution, but we will go ahead and we'll get over this. We're going to come out stronger in this, and it is a learning experience. And so I'm really looking forward to the outcome here. Like we said, it's just about sharing our experiences with you all.
Definitely. And that's pretty much all we can do. It's share with each other, because by sharing with each other, together we will grow, and together we will get over this.
Yes, sir. Well said.
Time for a quick break. Hashtag ad.
If you want to follow me on Wakelet, I do have some Wakelet collections there that you can go ahead and find. Some remote learning, and amongst other things, other Google Educator tools, especially if you're in education as well. There's a collection there for Chrome extensions that might be very useful for you, even if it's just for yourself there, for being being productive at home, you know, while you're just there trying to figure things out. You can check out collections there. I do have collections in Spanish as well. So go ahead and check it out at my Wakelet. You can go ahead and go to wakelet.com/@techteacher1381. And you can also follow me on Twitter @techteacher1381. So there you go. It'd be easy to remember there, where I'll be posting up a lot of things also that can help during this time. And if you ever need any help personally, like, you know, with any projects, you know, for your district or anybody, just feel free to reach out. You know, you can go ahead and shoot me a message there through Twitter, or you can email me directly at techteacher1381@gmail.com. And I'll be more than happy to help in any way, shape, or form that I can. I am here to serve you.
Awesome. And you also have a new podcast. Would you like to share that?
Ah, yes. Thank you for reminding me on that. Yes. Podcast. There is a podcast that I do have. It is on Anchor. It's called Alcance Familiar. It is all in Spanish, and it's just talking about digital citizenship, ciudadanía digital, the importance that for in sharing this information with parents that are Spanish speaking, and being able to share with our community what they need to look out for, you know, and especially now with how many devices students may have, just being able to equip parents with resources to have healthy conversations and open up that dialogue with their students at home, or I shouldn't say their students, with their children at home, about the dangers of social media, how to protect your digital footprint, and other information there that's very useful for parents. So that is Alcance Familiar. It is on Anchor. We will be putting up a link here on the show notes. I'll be sharing that with Carlos, and then you can access that. And again, it's for our Spanish speaking community. You can share it with them, share it with their parents, with your parents as well, as I'll give practical tips of what they can do at home to protect their kids.
Education should be mobile with ACED apps.
My favorite Google extensions right now that I use a lot, and I know it's just because right now we're doing a lot of the blended learning, or creating a lot of videos. But one of my favorite extensions right now that I am using is, of course, Screencastify. So, I mean, it's practical. It's something that is very useful. And teachers out there, that if you haven't or are not familiar with Screencastify, it is a way for you to, with one click, as long as you're logged into your Chrome browser, one click will get you started on recording your screen. You have up to 5 minutes. However, Screencastify has given a coupon code, or, you know, when you do sign up at first, and it is COVID-19. If you put that into the coupon code, you will get access, or you will get premium access, to where you will no longer have just 5 minutes of recording time. You will have, you know, infinite recording time, videos, especially during this time. So that's something to consider there, as it can be a very useful tool, like I said, where you can either record yourself doing a little mini lesson or giving a short explanation. And what I love about it is that it integrates with Google Classroom. But if you're not using Google Classroom, don't worry. You can grab that link And if you use something like Remind, you can pop that link there in Remind and share it with your parents or your students at home, and they can go ahead and open up that video. And all those videos will be stored into your Google Drive in its very own Screencastify folder. So now you will have those videos there in your teacher tool belt, which is your Google Drive, that you can use at a later time as well. So that is one of the tools that I would love to recommend, especially right now during this time. I know that there are other tools that do the exact same thing, but this is the one that I find is very easy to use and, again, integrates very well with your LMS. Couple of things, guys, working on a couple of projects, you know, as well as the Alcance Familiar. That project is something that has kind of just slowed down a little bit as far as putting up the second podcast. I mean, it's ready to go, but I've just been very busy with what we're doing here with our district. But keep your eye out or keep your ears open for that, because it will be coming out soon. It'll be releasing this week. Actually, I'll just give you a heads up. It will be coming out this week, and I'll make sure and post that up. And you can follow us on Twitter too as well, at Alcance 13. All right. So you can find the Twitter there, and you can follow us there. But if I may, at this time, what I would like to do is I want to thank the GEG community that I've been meeting with, a lot of GEG leaders, and especially GEG Ciudad Mexico, the GEGs, you know, with Abid and Leslie out in Australia, and a lot of these wonderful educators, Luis Perutz, that have been in these talks, you know, that you can join. And it has been wonderful to hear, just to be able to be part of a community where they're sharing resources. But not only that, even for us that are, you know, trying to help out our teachers and equip them with what we can, sometimes, you know, we do get a little overwhelmed, and sometimes we just need to talk. And I think that they did a phenomenal job. And maybe this is something that maybe our GEG can look into as well, to set up some chats where as a community, we can come and just talk, chat, share. Doesn't necessarily have to be about this, what's going on, but just the time to be able to listen to somebody else, let them just, you know, get what's on their mind out and things of that sort, and just be there for one another. Because, you know, one of the things that I stress is just the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it's just that socialization, you know, the ability to feel as part of a group. And right now, you know, as a lot of people are isolating themselves a little bit more and more, and then students at home are being isolated, it's very important that maybe if we can, teachers, pick up the phone, make a phone call, talk to your student. How's it going today? Have you been, you know, what did you learn? What did you do? And, you know, being proactive in that way, because it will help it'll help you as a teacher too, as well, just hear your students' voices, but also those kids, it is going to be something meaningful to them. And more than anything, the fact that you're going above and beyond, you know, just looking out for them, seeing how they're doing. I think that during this time, as you're going to start maybe rolling out, you know, certain assignments or for home learning, you know, they're going to show you that grace. If you make a mistake or an error and things of that sort, they're going to feel like, hey, it's okay, miss. It's okay, sir. We're part of a team. We're going to be learning together. And it just might make this transition period from, you know, brick and mortar school to home learning, remote learning, a little bit easier and smoother. So those are just some of the things that I wanted to add that were on my mind. And again, thank you to the GEG leaders from around the world, and our GEG here too, as Carlos is doing a phenomenal job here with our GEG. And, but again, you know, we are a community. So, you know, reach out to us, reach out to others. We're here to listen as well. And so thank you guys for everything that you're doing.
Awesome, awesome tips and inspirational words. And to go back to Casey Bell's quote, grace over grades.
Yes, grace over grades.
Yes. So this is going to be very important right now in the situations while we try to face all these problems. And yeah, keep distance. Only go out for the essentials. No more taco runs at the gas station. If you're not from South Texas, that might sound really weird, but yeah, we do taco runs to the gas station. And also, thank you so much for being part of this show. Thank you for helping me record this. It was so informative and amazing to have you here today.
Well, thank you, Carlos. It's always a pleasure working alongside you. And I know I've known you for many years and seen what you do. And also, you know, I want to thank you too as well, because if it wasn't for the knowledge that you pass on to, you know, educators like myself and at these conferences and the passion that you show for what you do, you know, you're actually one of the reasons that I got inspired to do the podcast and, you know, kind of going and treading new waters and being able to create a podcast, and you listen to it and say, hey, you know, that's pretty good. You know, it was really good. So I want to thank you for allowing me to share, you know, here with you today and, you know, just building up our learning community. So it's been a pleasure to be here, to say the least.
Thank you and have a good one.
Thank you for listening to Aced Tech.
I would love to hear from you. Send me a message on aced.tech/feedback, where you can record your voice, tag me on Twitter, or call me to leave me a voice message. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe on the Google or Apple Podcast app, or anywhere podcasts are found. I'm Mr. G. Cheers.